We took our Boy Scouts, our troop from our church up for the week-long camp out last week. We were between the Teton National Forest and Yellowstone National Forest, so you can imagine it was fairly beautiful, beautiful time of year. Thursday night after I heard that Suzanne had died, I was able to get a little reception and got that text. I was looking at the stars that night, and it was just pitch black out, and the stars were so beautiful, and I just contemplated heaven. And again, Steele was to teach this morning, and we just thought it'd be appropriate if I was here and just give some thoughts. I just scratched some thoughts down in my quiet time this morning on heaven, things that I've thought about, and it's appropriate that we think about heaven. It's good that we think about heaven as believers, isn't it? And I just want to share just a couple thoughts that have encouraged me. It's a relevant topic. Suzanne's passing is not something that was unexpected. It's sad. She's a dear friend. She will be missed. And we'll talk more about that at memorial service. This is not a memorial service. This is just some thoughts that God gave me this morning about an important topic. In fact, every second, they estimate on this planet, on the average, 3 people die, which makes 180 people every minute, about 11,000 every hour. By the end of the day, close to 250,000 people will have experienced this thing we call death. So it's something that we face all the time. And we will face it ourselves someday, unless Christ comes back and takes us home through the rapture. So today, believers, if you're a believer today, if you've trusted in Christ for your salvation, really, the thoughts I think God gave me are for you. Because you have hope that you need to understand. Suzanne had hope, and her hope is now realized. She's been completely healed. God answered our prayers. She's been completely healed. But heaven is something that God wants us to think about. It's something we should think about. And oftentimes I think it can get cloudy. Heaven, this idea of heaven, even for believers, we go, now how's this work again after I die? What happens? And I'm pretty sure, and I should be happy about it, but I'm not sure if I understand. It can be foggy or cloudy. And that made me think this morning about one of my favorite illustrations. You've heard about it before. Her name is Florence Chadwick. She's the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. And in 1952, she decided to try to swim from Catalina Islands to the coast of California in the Pacific Ocean. And she jumped in. It's 26 miles to do that. And she jumped in the water. It was cold. It was a foggy morning. And she had a boat alongside her. That her support team was alongside her in case she had trouble. She had her mother and other people on that boat that were encouraging her along. But it got really foggy where she couldn't even hardly see the boat next to her. As she swam, can you imagine, 26 miles swimming? And it got to the point where she started getting discouraged, and she wanted to get out of the water. She wanted to give up her quest to do this 26-mile swim because it was just so foggy, and she was discouraged. And they kept saying, no, you're almost there. You're almost there. Keep going. And despite the encouragement, she finally gave up. She said, pull me in the boat. They pulled her in the boat, and it wasn't much longer that the fog cleared and she could see that she was less than a half mile away from the shore. She was right there. And the reporters interviewed her later and said, what were you thinking? How did you feel? And she said this. She was quoted as saying, all I could see was the fog. I think if I could have seen the shore, I could have made it. And Christians, for us, that shore is heaven. And sometimes it's clouded through circumstances and through the hardships of this life, and we don't see it clearly, and we can want to give up as well. Can I encourage you this morning that we have hope in heaven? Our shoreline is there, and for some it's nearer than we think. But as believers, we have a hope, and we should keep on going, because heaven is sure. So I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I thought about this. Are you burdened? Are you discouraged? Are you depressed? You have health issues, financial issues, your dreams are shattered. That's the fog that can shroud your life to the point where you want to give up. And heaven is the shore, and heaven is so close. And Paul wants us to finish strong, doesn't he? He tells us that. I want to finish the race. Paul said, I finished the race. And one way that we can help do that is to get our eyes on the shore, get our eyes on heaven. Realize as believers, as Christians, we have that hope. We truly do. And that should make a difference in our lives. It really should make a difference. You have hope. So I just want to look. Again, I wrote just started jotting verses down, looking them up as I was having my quiet time this morning. Just a number of verses. I'm going to let the verses do the speaking because I only want to go 15 minutes or so, and we can finish off with some more worship. But I've already gone 6 minutes, so this will not go just 15 minutes, evidently. So heaven is what we should think about. Now, in the Bible, oftentimes, I just want to let you know when I read these, the phrase falling asleep is a euphemism for what in the New Testament? Death. Most of the time, unless in context, they went to bed and they fell asleep and got up in the morning. That's truly what it means, literally. But falling asleep is a euphemism for dying, for believers. Paul uses that a lot. So I just want to share just a few points. Again, the God brought to mind. These are verses that encourage me. When I think about heaven, I think, it's real, isn't it? I got to be reminded of this. These are some verses I think about. So let's pray. We're going to ask God, just in this brief time, to speak to our hearts. Lord, we thank you that you have something special for us this morning. I'm convinced of that. You always do when you mix things up. Thanks for the saints being flexible. Thanks that we could hear from you about heaven. And who doesn't want to be reminded or even told, maybe for the first time, as Christians, that we have hope in heaven and be reminded about what happens really after we die, how we can be confident and excited for that shoreline, and we can finish strong. God, give us grace this morning. Give the Crosswise grace as well. We're mindful of them and their grief, and help them. Give them mentally and physically, give them strength. Give them wisdom, even as they're planning. I know there's lots of things to do. Lots of plans, lots of decisions. Help them to do that, I pray. Support them. Bless us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Now, this may be a surprise to you more than anything. I don't have a PowerPoint this morning. I don't know when that's ever happened. I know, yeah, if you want to leave now, I understand. But I'm just going to, if you have a Bible, you can pull these verses out. I'll read the verses, but you can jot these down on the back of your program or something. These are encouraging verses on heaven. One of the first things I saw as I kind of grouped these verses together is heaven is something we should think about. Listen to this verse. Paul says this to the Thessalonians in chapter 4, verse 13 and 18 of 1 Thessalonians. This is hope we have as Christians. He says this in verse 13, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, those who die." Don't be ignorant. You need to know this. The Bible wants us to know what happens after we die or fall asleep, as it said. Don't be ignorant or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We have hope. But the rest of men don't have hope, evidently. Verse 14, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep or died. In him," i.e. believer, those who have put their faith in Christ, those that are in Christ, will come back with Jesus. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that when we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. That's what prompted me to think, well, maybe we should just talk about heaven. That's the command. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. We're going to be with the Lord forever. And if we happen to be alive before Jesus comes back and he returns, it says that we will be caught up with those that have died in Christ, with Suzanne and others that have died, your grandparents or people that know Christ, your friends and relatives, loved ones. We will be caught up with them in the air somehow. It's a beautiful thing that the Christian world has termed the rapture. Now, we don't see that word in the Bible, the word rapture. That's what we've called it, this glorious appearing, this time when Jesus comes down and calls all believers to himself, calls those from the grave. He's able to do that and call those who are still alive as believers. And the important part is, where will we be forever? Who will be with? With the Lord forever. We will be with the Lord forever, forever in heaven. And that's an encouraging thought. I like what it says in Colossians 3:1-4. Paul encourages us. He says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden in Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Again, the command or the encouragement is to get our minds on heaven. Get your minds above. Get them off this earth. This is where our minds are, you know, 23 and a half hours a day. Let's just take some time and get our minds on heaven, where Christ is seated in heaven. Let's think about that. So today, I'm going to encourage you through this short message to get our minds on heaven, okay? Amen? Get your minds on heaven. Set your heart, set your minds. That means direct your thoughts and your mind on heaven. That's where you're headed. Like Florence Chadwick, get your mind on the shore. Look at the shore. And as you're swimming and life gets hard, keep looking at the shore. Keep looking at heaven. We're going to be with the Lord forever if you're a believer. Not only that, heaven is something to look forward to. And we see this in the New Testament a lot. John 14, 1 through 4, Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you," or many mansions in some translation. "I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you," says Jesus to us, the believer. "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And where is the way to the place where he's going? It's through Jesus. Jesus said, "Only through me can you get there. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the gate, and only through me. I am the way, I am the road. You can't get through to heaven except through Jesus Christ." Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. No one comes to God except through Jesus. We know the way. And if you know the way, then listen, Jesus has been preparing a place for you in heaven. And that's going to be a beautiful thing. That is going to be a beautiful thing. We camped out this weekend. Again, I'm just being impromptu here, so forgive me. Camped out this weekend, and we had to use Kaibo facilities that were less than glorious. I'll just say that. It makes you appreciate what you have back home. And I think, you know, heaven, I mean, this earth is going to be like a Kaibo compared to what we have in heaven. That's what we have to look forward to. A place in heaven where Jesus is preparing. It's something we should look forward to. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. We've read this not too long ago as our study through 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 says, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed," this earthly tent is, again, it's a word picture of our body. "If our body is destroyed, if we die," he says, "if that happens, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed in our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." He goes on to say, "Therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in this body, we are away from the Lord. So while we're on this earth in this fleshly body, we are away from our heavenly home with God in heaven." Verse 7, "We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Susanna is away from the body and at home with the Lord. Where is she? She's at home with the Lord. She's away from the body. How do we know? Because the verse says, if you're away from the body, if you're dead, then you're with the Lord. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, away from the body means with the Lord forever, at home with the Lord. I like the way it says that. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Paul also said to the Philippians, and I love this verse. Interesting to meditate on this verse, and I have over the years. Paul is suffering here, and he's dreaming about heaven. He says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is" what? "Gain." It's better to die. It's better to die. in the spiritual sense. Now, you know, don't get any ideas that, you know, God's got you as long as he wants. He can take care of your timing, okay? But Paul's just saying it's just better. It'd be better to be with God in heaven. For me to live as Christ and die again. If I'm going to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. So he wants you to be fruitful while you're on this planet. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two, living in this body or dying and being with Christ. I'm torn between it. I desire to depart and be with Christ. There it is again. What happens when we die? We're with Christ. Which is better by far, says Paul, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. I love the fact his other peopleness. He's thinking about other people. He's just thinking about others. I mean, who wouldn't? He had a vision of Christ. He had a vision of heaven. He really wanted to go, but he said, you know what? It'd be like somebody saying, here's an all-expense-paid trip to Disneyland. Here, go. And you go, no, somebody needs me here. I'm going to stay here and help somebody. You go, wow, that's a sacrifice. Paul knew what heaven was like. He says, I need to stay here for you guys, for us. He says, I know that I will remain. I will continue. He says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain. I will continue with all of you for your progress and your joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Jesus Christ will overflow on account of me. Don't you just love his heart? It's for you. I'm going to stay for you. I'm going to give up heaven temporarily. I'm going to be there eventually, but for now, I'm going to stay here with you. For me to live is Christ, and to die is better, is gain. Not only that, heaven, just a couple more verses here. I just want you to understand and remember that heaven for us as Christians, okay, if you're wondering why does he keep saying that, and you go, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian or not, you need to talk to me afterwards or to one of our leaders in this church. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, you're not sure 100% that you've had your sins forgiven, that you placed your faith in Christ, and that you are absolutely confident you're going to heaven for the right reasons. If you're not confident, come talk to me, and we can figure that out. But for believers, heaven is just a breath away, just a heartbeat away, just a heartbeat away. And I love the fact that Steele said he kissed his mom right before her last breath. That was it, one heartbeat away, and she was in heaven. For believers, we have that hope. And I know it's sad to think about, but Suzanne is not sad right now, I guarantee you that. And those believers who have died in Christ are not sad right now. They are not. We are, and that's normal, natural, but they are not. Here's what gives me hope. The instant we die, we will see Jesus. We'll be with him. That's what the Bible teaches. Let me give you a couple verses here. Acts 7:54-60. It's the narrative of the stoning of the first Christian martyr, Stephen, in the book of Acts. And we get a little insight into heaven because he was being killed for his faith, and he's able to speak right before he dies. We hear what he says, and he gets a glimpse of something, and you watch for it here. Again, these were religious leaders that were killing Christians in the very first century here. When the religious leaders, when they heard this, they were furious. Stephen just gave a great testimony of Christ. They were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. Paul was right there, giving his approval to the stoning of the first Christian martyr. And God radically changed his life. Verse 59, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. We get a glimpse of Jesus being there at our passing. He's right there. He never leaves us. When we go through the veil, we know who we're going to see on the other side. We can be confident of that. Last verse, Luke 23:43. It's the story of the thief on the cross. God always brings this to mind when people ask me, what happens? How can we be sure we go right to heaven? Well, here's the story of a thief on the cross from Luke 23:43. He had been nailed with Jesus and another thief. They deserved to be there. Jesus didn't, and they had conversations throughout the day. Crucifixion was a horrible death. They had time to talk. They were there suffering just waiting to die, and these thieves and Jesus were talking, and some of what they said was recorded. One of the thieves hurled insults at Jesus. The other one had pity and said, stop, leave him alone. He doesn't deserve this. And evidently, he was converted on the cross, according to the Luke narrative. This thief, while he's on the cross, he didn't have time to get down and get baptized. He didn't have time to get down and do a bunch of good works and fulfill his obligation to God. He didn't have time to get worthy. He was nailed to a cross for sins he had committed. He was a guilty, rotten sinner who deserved to be killed. Jesus talks to him. He has a change of heart. He evidently converts. And Jesus says to him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Today, not in 100 years when the rapture happens, today you're going to be with me. Where? In paradise. That's a promise from our Lord. And when you and I, when we pass, or when our loved ones pass, understand if they're believers, if they've trusted in Christ for their salvation, then that second, the second their heart stops, they are with Jesus in paradise. Amen? Paul told us to be encouraged by these words. I hope you're encouraged this morning. Heaven is closer than we think. And I just encourage us today to think about heaven, to be encouraged by the fact that as believers we can be there. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Pray that you would just encourage our hearts with these thoughts of heaven, just to remind us that heaven is nearer than we think. Lord, might we heed the Apostle Paul's admonition not to be ignorant, but to encourage each other with these words. First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't we sing a little bit more, Hayden? Okay.
Let's stand.